NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Russian aid convoy that's been condemned by the Ukrainian government and Western countries is leaving eastern Ukraine today. The Russian Foreign Ministry is being quoted as saying the vehicles are all now back in Russian territory, a day after moving into Ukraine bound for the rebel-held city of Luhansk. Russia is defending its decision to send the convoy to Ukraine, but as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, Russia is also facing widespread criticism in the U.S., Europe, and at the United Nations.
The way Russia's ambassador to the U.N. explains it, Russia couldn't wait any longer to send in a huge convoy of trucks. The current Security Council president, U.K. Ambassador Mark Lael Grant, and others condemn the move.
It is an undeniable and blatant violation of Ukrainian sovereignty and a clear breach of international law and the UN Charter.
A White House statement says Russian military vehicles painted to look like civilian trucks forced their way into Ukraine and few had been inspected. It also accuses Russia of sending, quote, an ever-increasing stream of military equipment and fighters to support separatists in the country. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Moving to Ferguson, Missouri, where tensions between police and protesters appear to be subsiding. The streets were largely peaceful for a third night running last night, and as calm settles in on the streets central to the protests, attention is turning to deeper community development, as Willis Ryder Arnold reports from St. Louis Public Radio.
In Ferguson Friday night, focus shifted to actions like providing food and educational resources to local kids and registering voters. 25-year-old Nathan Gray sees voting as a tool to combat issues he feels led to events in Ferguson.
With my vote, I'm holding you accountable. That you're actually not only just going to make a change, but actually be involved within the community.
The main group of marchers wrapped up around 9:45. For NPR News, I'm Willis Arnold in St. Louis.
A Florida judge has approved maps for congressional districts submitted by Republican leaders in the state legislature, but as NPR's Greg Allen reports from Miami, the judge says elections in those districts should go ahead on schedule but use old maps from 2012.
Judge Terry Lewis rejected congressional maps previously submitted because he said they were drawn in a way that favored the Republican Party. Florida law requires district maps be drawn without regard to incumbents or political parties. Florida's League of Women Voters and other plaintiffs challenged new maps submitted by Republican leaders, saying they made minimal changes. In his ruling, Judge Lewis says the new maps meet constitutional requirements. Because of time constraints, elections officials told the judge it's not possible to use the new maps, though, until next year at the earliest. Because of that, Judge Lewis said the upcoming elections will go forward on schedule using old maps enacted in 2012, the same maps he rejected as invalid. The voter groups say they plan to appeal. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
And this is NPR News. Residents of North Central Washington State hit by wildfires earlier this month are still dealing with the aftermath. Hillsides left barren by the fires in Okanagan County gave way this week because of heavy rain. Officials estimate that 10 homes have been damaged or destroyed by mudslides. The slides happened Thursday evening. No fatalities or injuries have been reported from the mudslides in Washington State, but in Japan, at least 39 people are reported dead and more than 50 still missing after heavy rain caused hillsides to sweep down into residential areas outside the city of Hiroshima this week. The Japanese public broadcaster, NHK, is showing rescue workers suspended by ropes from police helicopters pulling victims from the rubble. At the end of a mostly bullish week on Wall Street, stocks finished with a quiet trading day. Steve Beckner of Market News International says stocks closed down, ending a string of winning sessions for the Dow and the S&P 500.
It was a week of superlatives, with Apple shares climbing to an all-time high above $101, the S&P hitting a new record near 2,000, and the Dow climbing back above 17,000. Some of this was eclipsed by Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen's Friday morning speech, which did not give a clear monetary policy signal, but was interpreted by some as hinting at earlier-than-expected interest rate hikes if labor markets keep improving. Adding to market jitters were new tensions on the Russia-Ukraine border. Despite Friday's fairly modest losses, the Dow is up 2% for the week. The Nasdaq and S&P are ahead by roughly 1 2/3%. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.